Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
They want, don't you? You know who they are. What they want is to take the bridge in Baltimore that was named after Francis Scott Key, the composer of the Star Spangled Banner, who owned slaves. And they wanted to get rid of his name from that bridge because he owned slaves. What are they going to propose? That P. Diddy, they name it P. Diddy. Now, he composed music and he owned slaves.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a famous rapper turned mogul who had his car damaged at the Whitestone Pound. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Shoplifting spree gone bad. The people of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Hey, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We're taking a road trip in a couple of months, and that means my wife's already packing.
If I don't do it now, there won't be any clean underwear the day we leave.
And the highlight of the trip? Stopping at a Buc-ee's. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
I don't like anything about family gatherings. I finally admitted it to myself. I have looked for good news in a family gathering for me. I'm miserable at these things. I always am, just like I'm miserable in a family vacation. And sure enough, today there was the Easter Sunday dinner, and there was my sister-in-law. Now, what I have found is the best thing to do with my sister-in-law is just not speak to her. Every family has traditions. Easter traditions, Christmas, Hanukkah, traditions. The hardest part of getting married is realizing that your traditions from your childhood may not win. You may not win the battle of traditions. It has been my experience that I usually don't win. In my house, when I was growing up, Easter was as big a deal as Christmas. We got as many gifts, sometimes more, for Easter than for Christmas. And if you think about it, and I'm not going to start getting religious, but if you think about it, Easter's a bigger deal in Christianity. It proves Christianity. We got as many gifts for Easter as we did for Christmas. My in-laws look askance at the idea of any gifts at Easter. They were like, what? I don't think they gave their kids any kids gifts at Easter, and therefore, when I give my kids gifts at Easter, they're scandalized. But they have another tradition that I find even more disturbing. They give the kids have to find their eggs. No, they have to look around the house for their baskets. When I was growing up, we came downstairs. Our baskets were in front of the fireplace. We dove in, we ate the candy, we got our gifts, and then an hour later, my parents woke up. That's how it worked. And there were a lot of carrots around on the floor to prove that the Easter Bunny came there. Well, today, my daughter, who's 12, the other one who's 18, my nephews, I don't know how old my nephews are. Do you know how old your nephews are? Do you even know where they live? No. We really don't know anything about the nephews who don't live with us. They live someplace else. Very strange. And what my in-laws do, I was at my mother-in-law's. We were all at my mother-in-law's. And they hide the eggs outside. They hide the eggs outside, and then each kid is supposed to take their basket and walk around and find the eggs. And they're supposed to, at first they started talking about, all right, now how many eggs does each kid get? And I'm like, no, it's not how many eggs does each kid get? Each kid's supposed to find as many eggs as they can. It's a competition. That's what it is. Oh, well, all right. They conceded that. Then one of the cousins was not to be found. The others were denied the opportunity to just go out and run and find the eggs. They all had to wait for this one cousin who was a bum, was not there on time, wasn't ready for the Easter egg hunt. And so now they're all standing on the front steps to go outside to get the eggs. And finally, the kid comes down, and my daughter's yelling, like, well, why are we waiting? I'm cold, I'm cold, I'm cold. They were all cold, waiting for this bum to come down and do this. All right, finally he comes down, and they start to run around and get the eggs. I had found one of the eggs and had it in my pocket to help my 12-year-old because I'm a father. That's what fathers are supposed to do. That's what fathers do. All right, now I come back in and I say, you know, it's a competition. I don't know why there would be any delay in this. I'm mumbling to myself. And over there from the kitchen, there's my sister-in-law, the dreaded sister-in-law. There's my sister-in-law. And I haven't been talking to her. I wasn't addressing anyone in particular. And she says, no one wants to hear your opinion, Walter. I'm like, what? No one wants to hear your opinion. And I did something I haven't done before. I said, and no one wants to hear yours. Well, then don't say anything. I wasn't the one who initiated this insane conversation. Well, then don't say anything. This is my hell. Because your sister-in-law, regardless if you're the husband or wife or some other gender, your sister-in-law determines your marriage. Your sister-in-law is in charge of your marriage. I promise you, if she gets an ugly table, I'm going to have that ugly table in my house 3 months later. Oh, you should get this table. I swear to you. And they have the right marriage. There they are, far from home. They live in Manhattan. And mom and dad came in from Manhattan to the mother-in-law's house. Okay. And then it's 4 o'clock on Easter Sunday. And dad says, well, I got to go. He goes to the airport. My brother-in-law, he goes to the airport at 4 o'clock on Easter Sunday. He's done. He's gone. You know, he's a very important trip in China. He has to go to China tomorrow. Meanwhile, sister-in-law leaves Monday. Father-in-law, brother-in-law gets to leave today. Wow, that is some scam. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. This show is a live radio show on a Sunday night. There's nothing else live. The Bitcoin show, not live. The annuity show, not live. The get out of debt right away show, not live. Never. By the way, that get out of debt show and find Jesus show, that is never live. No matter where you're listening, that is never live. I'm not even going to waste my time on this. I have an amazing conversation coming up. And what have we got tonight? We're going to talk about my deep and profound experience with Storage Wars, holiday traditions, the Rock Hall of Fame, the Radio Hall of Fame, and my hell with my kids' school. And, oh, what's today? I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's not Easter. It's Transgender Visibility Day. 888-688-WALT. I do this show, so I get to talk to you. Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Now, listen, I love our relationship with the MyPillow people. Tonight, you're going to, no hyperbole, and they're not paying me to do this. You will hear an offer in seconds that I can't friggin' believe. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
888-688-WALT, live on the radio. The Bitcoin Show, not live on the radio. Father Drucker, happy Easter. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
All I got to say, Walter, I don't want to interrupt. You're the host, but all I can say, in the Eastern Church, we sing, Christos vos krasaios medvid, smertios medvoprav. Christ is risen from the dead. By death he conquered death. And to those in the graves he granted life. I love you, Vasily Walter.
Are you determined to lose all listeners?
I'm determined to lose every I shouldn't say every non-Catholic, but no. I don't think I will. I know the singing's bad, but it's in the heart, it's in the spirit, and it is Easter, Vos Krasaios Dein.
Right, so you're a Catholic priest, right?
Catholic priest of the Easter Rite, but Walter, I grew up Roman Catholic all my life, never knowing that I was of the Eastern persuasion. Long story real short, my mother was Greek Catholic, what we used to be called, we're now called Byzantine. So then when I decided that God was calling me And here I am 45 years later. I accepted and embraced Catholicism of the Eastern Church.
All right. Father Drucker, thank you for being with us on a busy day. I like to say this is the day where every church fills the upper parking lot. This is their goal, to fill the upper parking lot today. I had a business question. I had a business question for you, Father Drucker. Now, I have to explain, the way I know Father Drucker is that, yes, he is a Catholic priest, but more importantly, well, almost as importantly, he was a disc jockey on the greatest radio station there ever was. Now, you have to put this in perspective. I grew up 15 miles from Manhattan. I grew up with New York City radio. But one day, probably at the age of 8 or 9, I heard WARM in Northeast Pennsylvania. I heard WARM and my ears were mesmerized. I never heard anything so incredibly entertaining and well done. Oh my gosh. From 1960 to 1975, WARM was a top 40 station and the news leader and an entertainment station and a personality station. It was this incredible synthesized blend of the best of radio. And it was created by a genius named George Gilbert. And George Gilbert was the program director, and he also, Philadelphians, he also was on Wibbage for a couple years until he got tired of Hylitz stealing his hops. But
and the hops were run by Buzzy Curtis,
Promotion and Motion,
and I worked for Buzzy, and he just passed away, age 90. Excuse me. Continue, Walter. Forgive me.
Well, that's why George told me he left. Now, but I have a question for you about the Catholic Church. Having been raised as a Catholic, later finding out that I'm a Jew, confusing the Monsignor. But the question I have is, I was thinking about this is a busy day. Lots of money comes into churches today. Good. But my question is, how does the economics of a Catholic church work? So if you have a Catholic church which is booming at Christmas and booming at Easter, booming at Lent and booming at Good Friday, the rest of the year, if it's not one of those hip and happening churches, if it's a church that does not have enough members the rest of the time, how do the economics work? Does the archdiocese give the church money, lend the church money? How does it work to support their bills when there isn't enough coming in on the plate?
Well, of course, it's not a question I thought I was going to be posited with today, but basically and fundamentally, every church has to exist economically as well as spiritually and sacramentally. So the monies we gain by the offerings, the monies we gain by stipends, the monies we gain by the candle sales, et cetera, all keep the church open, the physical church, which makes the spiritual church a reality. So, of course, there has to be enough money coming in to turn the lights on, to pay for the host, pay for the wine, to give the priest a salary, which is not very much, by the way, and to be able to survive. If a church cannot survive, the diocese or archdiocese, in our case, in the Eastern Church, the eparchy or the archeparchy, certainly will take care of the church and the people within its flock. If it does not continue to be able to be self-sustaining, then there's a strong chance, number one, before anything happens really strongly negative, in choice of word, it will then become a mission parish. When I was at St. Clair, Pennsylvania, I was the Catholic priest of my bishop's home parish, Bishop Michael Dudek, from St. Clair, PA, and I had St. Clair, St. Mary's, and St. Mary's in Brockton. Brockton was a mission parish because it only had like maybe 100 families. And, of course, 100 families doesn't always mean 200 or 300 people. It could be less because people are older and young people sometimes don't go and so forth. So it was a burden and hard to keep that church alive. And it's still functioning till this day, and it is still a mission parish, but attached to a larger parish. St. Clair, where I was at, which was a fairly decent-sized parish, has now become a mission parish. So any bishop pastor, who we believe in apostolic succession. Every bishop has the roots of being ordained or consecrated from one of the apostles. He would keep in every way from having to close a church. If it becomes at some point that it is not self-sustaining physically, certainly, then it potentially could be closed. And then the flock would be asked to go to a church locally. And, of course, in the past 10, 15 years, I've been a priest 45 years since 1978, ordained December 3rd, a lot of churches are being consolidated. And they're being taken over and they're becoming mission parishes, including in the Latin Rite. So it can be a burden, but most bishops certainly will try to keep any parish alive as long as it's possible to keep it alive physically, as well as spiritually and sacramentally.
Father Drucker is also a radio star today. He hosts a radio show in Philadelphia that streams that you can hear. Please tell us about that, Father.
Well, now I have, I actually stream out of Tuesday, by the way, if I may, on the 590 WARL, Wilkes-Barre Scranton's number one station for fun, the number one station at Wilkes-Barre Scranton. My guest today is Walter Sterling. Anyway, I'm back on the air at age 82 on two stations. I stream on the station OutsideFM.com, 6 to 8 a.m. every Saturday morning. And that's taped. So I do all my taping. And as you know, I do the vocals. And then when I send it to Philly, to Team Morgan, who is the creator of the station, he puts it all together with the music, the songs, and so forth. I pick them out. I list them. I chart them. I pick 18 songs and so forth. 1 hour.
These are rock and roll songs. These are rock and roll songs.
It's rock and roll doo-wops. It's primarily from the 1950s. And
all right. So, Father, sure. I know I'll go to hell for interrupting you, but Father, please tell us again the website address of your radio show. Say it three times. We're on the air.
The first show is OutsideFM.com. OutsideFM.com. Then recently, 21 shows again in November, someone decided, they said, Father, you should be on the air. You're a veteran. I was during Vietnam. I was not in Vietnam, but I was enlisted in infantryman during Vietnam, 6 years. And then later I became a Catholic priest. And then while I was at Westover in St. Michael's Catholic Byzantine Church in Chicopee, South Hadley, I was elevated to becoming a captain. And I spent many years in the service. And while I was in Turkey, I was able to be asked to help in Desert Storm. So I was a chaplain, captain, Catholic Air Force priest, serving our people, our country, and our God overseas in southern Turkey and in northern Iraq. So the first show is OutsideFM.com. And the second one, which I have sponsors helping me with, I'm on WWDB, Delta Bravo AM, 860 kilohertz, 860 AM, live every Saturday. Yesterday, my guest was Ron Dante of Sugar Sugar fame and Tracy.
Right. Now, Father.
Tracy Cups along. Yes, sir.
Father. Give us the web address again, and then we're out of time.
Okay. So the web address for Outside FM is OutsideFM.com, OutsideFM.com, and WWDBAM.com for podcasts. We do the show live every Saturday, 4 to 5 p.m., 8:60, and it's also streaming.
Father?
Yes.
Father. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank
Walter,
you.
Walter, I love you, and it's been great being in me. Again, may God bless your audience on this day of resurrection.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans, and I canceled them. And I just said I was very sick, and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, that happened.
Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. Happy Easter. It's a live radio show coast to coast, driving on Route 80 and the 18-wheeler. Welcome. Wasting money on the tolls that should be illegal? Yes, it's you and me, Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday with Dr. Dave, meteorologist and weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari.
And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a famous rapper turned mogul who had his car damaged at the Whitestone Pound. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Shoplifting spree gone bad. The people of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Hey, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We're taking a road trip in a couple of months, and that means my wife's already packing.
If I don't do it now, there won't be any clean underwear the day we leave.
And the highlight of the trip? Stopping at a Buc-ee's. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Hi, I'm Dan Gaffney.
I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here on Sterling on Sunday to tell you about life with our eight kids and our old house.
And tonight we're talking about leaving that old house to get away from it for a little while and go to a Buc-ee's.
Well, a road trip is planned for a few months, which means you're already packing.
I am already packing as I have to squirrel away little things that I know, you know, like, oh, there's a couple of matched pairs of socks that'll disappear and then we'll be matching socks the day of if I don't put them in the basket now.
Right.
It's just kind of a thing I do when we get ready to leave. If you start putting little things away early, it's not like you're trying to find all of those things 2 days before you leave.
And in the back of the van will be literally laundry. Laundry baskets instead of luggage.
Laundry baskets full of our clothes, full of the food that we're going to take, because it's just easier to cart it in and out of wherever we're staying in laundry baskets.
Yeah, traveling with a lot of kids, it's a logistics issue.
Right, like we'll have a laundry basket full of blankets and pillows. We'll have a laundry basket full of food. We'll have laundry baskets full of boys' clothes, girls' clothes. Just works easily that way.
And what is the highlight of the trip for you, dear?
So I think it's the highlight of the trip for you because you can never stop talking about Buc-ee's. So what we're doing is we're going to go visit one of our kids to see a show and then some family. But really all we're talking about is when we get to Buc-ee's, which I've never been to a Buc-ee's.
We'll be traveling on the East Coast, mm-hmm. south on I-95, the major route that goes up and down the East Coast. And when you get into South Carolina, there is a Buc-ee's. Now, there are a few of these apparently in the country, different parts of the country. It is like a gigantic, and I mean gigantic, convenience store gas station.
Like the Wawa of the South?
Imagine if a Wawa was a shopping mall. Oh. That's what you're getting.
I'm kind of excited. I don't think I could be as excited as you.
112 gas pumps.
What for? Like, are they full? Are
yes.
there that? Seriously?
A jerky bar.
Yeah, that's where you're going to spend your time, the jerky bar. Hey, so...
gift shop, food.
What do you need a gift shop for at a convenience store? What on earth?
To buy the Buc-ee's merchandise.
Well, I'm just going to let everyone know, the last time you went on this same kind of trip here, you and a couple of the kids went, and that's what you came back with. Like, you brought the kids souvenirs from Buc-ee's.
Yeah, not from where we actually went.
No. I didn't get any souvenirs, by the way, so I need to get my Buc-ee's shirt while I'm down there. I don't think I'd wear a Buc-ee's shirt. I mean, come on. Like, what are we celebrating?
You're celebrating clean bathrooms. It's the number one place to stop and
for
do
number two.
Mm-hmm. That's what the billboards say.
Does it say that?
Yes.
I thought that was your dumb dad joke.
For hundreds of miles.
No, seriously?
Just you wait, dear.
I think I'd rather head over to south of the border.
Buc-ee's has replaced that classic location.
How close is it to south of the border?
If you can hold it, wait 45 minutes, you're good.
You know that's not happening with me. So we might have to make a double stop. South of the border, then Buc-ee's. Let's take an extra empty laundry basket so we can fill it with Buc-ee's merch and food from there. What do you think?
Great idea. We can fill it with pecans.
I don't think I need any more nuts in the car.
All right. Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
It's Dan and Becky for Sterling on Sunday.
The New Jersey Turnpike, the most modern, most heavily traveled toll highway in the world. Starting just outside New York City at the George Washington Bridge, it picks up traffic from the Lincoln and Holland tunnels under the Hudson River.
The Jersey Turnpike and the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Those were among the first horror shows in transportation history. Those were among the first toll roads in America. The Pennsylvania Turnpike was the first toll road in America. Think about when there were physical tolls on the highway, every highway. They're still on most of them, but some of them have decided to do those scary things that take pictures of your license plates. And apparently there are people who put black Mylar over their license plate to avoid that detection. I can't recommend that, but it's fascinating. But the physical toll booths, they were green. And it's toll, which is one letter short of troll. It came from the medieval trolls that hid under bridges and stopped horsemen from going over the bridge unless they paid a toll to the troll. That's where it came from. There's an exit on the Jersey Turnpike way up north near the Pulaski Skyway that underneath there on the vacant land under there that's all ugly in Jersey, US 1, 9, Pulaski Skyway, that horrible place, Tottawa, where there are abandoned toll booths. There are toll booths that wore out, and now they just put them on the side of the road. There are about 20 of them. I have always wanted one of those. I always thought it'd be a great promotion for a radio station in New Jersey to have one of those toll booths and at county fairs and promotional events. You get to throw things at the toll booth. Wouldn't that be like a dream for a Jersey driver? I have such a promotion mind. I have such a brilliant promotion mind. But I love long-distance driving. I envy and admire truck drivers. You're driving an 18-wheeler like Keith Mortensen did before he retired for UPS. This is a great profession, and there's a certain moment, I'm sure, you can tell me if I'm wrong, there's a certain moment when you're driving for 7 or 8 hours at night where everything's just right. The temperature in the cab is perfect. The lights from the dash, the interior lights, are just perfect for the time of day. It's got that soft, beautiful glow. The warmth is just right. You don't have to go to the bathroom. You're not looking for a truck stop. And that the road is yours. It's beautiful. And then here I am, 14 inches from the microphone. There you are, 14 inches from that speaker. This is the most profoundly influential, powerful medium. This is it. And the stupid thing is that people who have the hardest job in the world, which is to sell air, they have to sell air. They have to sell the commercial time. Selling the commercial time on radio is a really hard job because what are they selling? They're selling air. And what they try to do, because too many MBAs are involved in radio, too many masters of business associate, whatever it is, too many masters of business have gotten involved, and now it's in spreadsheets. Here's how many people listen in this 15 minutes, and here's how many people listen for 5 minutes over a week and a half. That's how they sell it. Meanwhile, the way they sell TV to this day is they sell shows. They still sell shows, and then the audience of the show to determine the price of the commercial. But first, the buyer's emotionally invested in the show. And it used to be like that with the radio, but now they're programmatic programming, where they give them a spreadsheet. Here's the number of people, but it doesn't tell them anything about will it move product off the shelf. And nothing moves product off the shelf like a radio show sharing information with you at night. This is the most pristine, perfect medium there ever was. That's why it's been around over for 100 years. I didn't mean to go on this little tirade. What I wanted to share with you is this unbelievable scam that my 18-year-old and I got sucked into, and I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. Now, coming up, you and I have to go to the French Riviera. Time is up. You want to join me and my wife on the French Riviera in October, October 10th, for 9 days. This is the time to sign up. I will email you the information. I will mail it physically, or you can get it right now on our website. Here are the details. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by NASA.
Remember when NASA sent a woman to space for only 6 days, and they gave her one.
Sterling on on Sunday. Good evening. 52 minutes past the hour. You and I are live driving across the country. This is the only radio show where you're going to get weather, where I'm not going to scream at the Democrats. We get to have this elegant, beautiful transition from the hell of your relatives, your sister-in-law, into the joy and comfort and relaxation of going to work tomorrow or on the late shift, the third shift. This is like morning drive for people going to work right now. Welcome. Hi. I don't know why no one else is talking to you, but it's a shame. I don't know why HR never visits us and why our vending machines are never stocked. You get to work now. What do you got in the vending machine? Wrigley's gum, the bear claw and Wrigley's gum. That's it. Change. No one has any change. And then you see a sad little tray that clearly had something really good on it, like fresh, good, yummy chocolate chip cookies or white chocolate chip cookies. Those are all gone. There is one oatmeal raisin cookie, half eaten. That's all that's left from the birthday party that took place earlier today on the first shift. Everything seems to be for the first shift. But they don't have what you and I have, which is solitude. This is the golden time for introverts. This is when you and I recharge. It's the best time of day. From time to time, idiots have said, well, you know, you'd be really great in the morning. Yeah, that's fine, but I'm not going to do mornings ever as long as I live. I can't imagine the mindset that it takes to do morning drive on the radio. Good morning, everybody. No, I won't be doing that. All right. Now, my daughter, who's 18, and me fell for a scam. She has a red car. She's a freshman in college, and I say this objectively, she's a very attractive young woman. I see this promotion online. Yeah, it was an email, which said, would you put Dr. Pepper logo stickers on your car? Submit your application. Well, I'm like, they're going to pay her cash to put Dr. Pepper stickers on her car, a car I'm paying for. Okay, let's get that Dr. Pepper money and get those stickers on her car. So what do? I send a picture of her and a picture of her red car. And I figure we're in. And I'll tell you what happened in just seconds, coming up in just seconds. Keith Fons is our friend in Alaska. Now, Keith lives actually in the North Pole, Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska. And at the North Pole is Santa's house. There is a Santa has his workshop there, and it's huge and beautiful and a great tourist attraction, a great thing that you and I can visit with our kids. We can go see Santa's house. And I'm thinking about Santa's house on Easter Sunday, Keith, and I'm imagining there's nobody there on Easter Sunday. Is this a correct assessment, Keith?
Today, yes. But yesterday, they did a big celebration, and the community came out, and all the kids got to run through Santa Claus's house and do a scavenger hunt and got to hang out with Santa. It was actually a really good day. They got to decorate, you know, cookies. And the thing is in North Pole, the community here, it's very small. We're like 3,000 people, and everybody here is church orientated. So today for Easter, Santa went to church and didn't have any visitors in his house. And pretty much everybody here goes for several hours to church and then do family dinners.
Isn't that a sad image that nobody visited Santa today? Did you ever think about how sad that must be for Santa, or is he happy to have a break?
He still gets out in the community and does appearances at several of the local churches with the Easter Bunny. You know, they come out together, and he just, you know, on this day, he's family oriented, so families get together on this day and celebrate.
Keith Fons in North Pole, Alaska. Do you happen to have a photo of Santa and the Easter Bunny? That would be like a photo of Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris.
That would be. I didn't think about that. I know yesterday my son, he got his first phone. And so the first thing he wanted to do was go to Santa Claus' house. And he got a picture on his brand new phone of Santa and pictures of Santa Claus' house.
With the Easter Bunny?
No, they're on two opposite sides of the building at the moment. We didn't catch them together.
How old's your son?
He's 11. Tomorrow he'll be 11. He's an April Fool's baby.
Yeah, I have a Valentine baby, and she turned 12 on Valentine's Day. But you and I did the same thing. At the age of 11, my baby got a phone. And I have no problems with it because it means two things. One, she has a phone. And if there's trouble, she can call. But the other thing is, it means she isn't bugging me for my phone. Is that why you did it, Keith?
Actually, for the same exact reason. Our rule in our house is by the time they're ready to go to middle school, they need to have a phone on them due to emergencies. Especially nowadays, the way the world is, you don't really want to send your kid to school without a way to be able to communicate. And the second reason we did is now they are all the kids finally have phones, and they're off our internet. They have their own phones, their own internet. We got them kid phones, so we can definitely censor what they do. But now, mom and dad can use our internet for our smart TV.
Yeah, let me give you a tip, Keith Fonz, and thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. The tip is they will know how to override your controls. I promise you. Good evening.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Snow? Are you kidding me? Snow? Dr. Dave Iser, weather.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari.
And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a famous rapper turned mogul who had his car damaged at the White Stone Pound. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Shoplifting spree gone bad. The people of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. WALT.
She's 3'6" and will dance her heart away for you. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I literally have the best girlfriend ever. Every day when I wake up next to her, I just feel so incredibly lucky and grateful for having her in my life.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Little people, minis, the midgets, the dwarfs, whatever you call them, they're wonderful. And Tiny Texie is 3'6", and she is an adult entertainer. She is a honey, too, and will be performing at the Body Shop Joint in beautiful Miami, Oklahoma. You'd think it's Miami, but they pronounce it Miami, part of the Miami Indians, a great Native American tribe. Tiny Texie will be performing. She's 3'6", and she's as cute as a button. And this season, Exotic Dancer will be bringing her absolute delightful presentation this coming Friday and Saturday to the Body Shop Joint. The bar without, Kazungas, Utters, Tiny Texie, main attraction. Tickets, $25 for those under the age of 21. $15 if you're over 21. Reserve seating, $20 per table. Miami, Oklahoma, famous for amazing casinos run by Native American communities. Buffalo Run, Quapaw, Downstream Casino, only minutes away from this wonderful, wonderful location. Great hotels, great restaurants. The people could not be better in Miami, Oklahoma, at the Body Shop Joint. Can I say this? If you do not have a ticket for this event, I think you have a bias against little people. Tiny Texie is a honey. Just look her up online. You'll be as impressed as I am. Quite a resume for a dancer. Divorcier. Get it. From the Champagne Room, it's Strippers on the Loose. I'm Vila Hool, Sterling at Night.
All right, now, you can see the ad for that strip show at Walter Sterling on Facebook, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G, Walter Sterling at Facebook. Lots of calls, lots of questions about this. You and I are going to the French Riviera in October. We're going to have a spectacular time. My wife is coming, and we're excited because it's where we got engaged. And we haven't been back since. It's been on our bucket list for years. We got to go back. We got to see it. And finally, the people at Colette Travel, a premium travel service, said, well, we'll put together a premium vacation for you and your listeners in the French Riviera. I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to move around to a lot of different hotels. Oh, no, no, no. We fly into Nice, France. We stay at one hotel on the beach. It's a beautiful hotel. And then from that hotel, we go to Monaco, Cannes, Nice, Saint-Tropez. We see French wineries. We see a French perfumery. It's hard for me to say. French perfumery. We see a winery. We eat French meals in France, premium meals put together by Colette. You and I will have to do no thinking. If you don't want to do something on a given day, go to the beach, stay in your hotel room, sleep, doesn't matter. You do what you want. But everything is laid out to have a great time on vacation in France. Art museums, the Princess Grace Museum, the casino at Monte Carlo, the one you've seen in the James Bond movies all your life. You're like, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be incredible to gamble there? Yes, it is. Topless beaches. If you're interested, if you want to see naked French women, this is the trip for you. We had the best time. When we were in Monaco, I walked into the Mediterranean. There are no big waves, nothing scary. Walked into the Mediterranean and said to my wife, said to my fiance, I said, come on, let's go into the water. She's like, he never wants to go in the water. What is he doing? We went in, and then I pretended to step on something that hurt. And I bent down to see what it was, and I lifted up a diamond ring. And I knelt in the waters of the Mediterranean, and I asked Katie to marry me. That's when we got engaged. In the brochure on this trip is the photo taken moments after I asked her to marry me by a French guy sitting on the beach. I asked him to take a picture when I do that, and he did. That photo is in the very special custom brochure for Midnight Misfits for our trip to the French Riviera. I put it in there. I said, here's the proof. Midnight Misfit, Noel, here's the proof. Rosemary Furlong, D. Wells, the Dats, all the Midnight Misfits. John Kelly, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
As I was saying, I want you to join us on the French Riviera. I didn't tell you how to do that. Here's how you do it. You go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and right on the homepage, right there, is a spectacular panoramic view of the French Riviera from Nice. Click on it. It'll take you right to the information about this. Or you send me an email, and I will rush out to you this very special custom brochure about it. It's a beautiful brochure where you can see a spectacular photo of my wife and I moments after we got engaged. Send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and enclose your real mailing address, and I will mail it to you. Or you can call Colette. Colette put this together. It's a travel service for premium travel and what do they call it? Custom batch, small batch vacations. Here's their number. Call them and ask them all the questions you want because time's up. You got to register for it now. 800-581-8942. What is wrong with my eyes? I don't have my reading glasses. 800-581-8942. Yeah, that became an issue when I turned 20. 800-581-8942. And tell them you want to go on the Walter Sterling trip. We're going to go to Nice. We're going to go to wineries, perfumeries. We're going to see the French Riviera in the way that you want to see it. 9 days, 12 meals. I have never had a better vacation in my life. I have waited years to go back there. And I said, I have wanted to take a trip. I have wanted to meet Midnight Misfits. I have wanted us to bond in person. And I wouldn't mind you meeting my long-suffering, very beautiful wife, Katie. Her name's Katie. Get the information. Find out about it. This is an all-inclusive vacation. And let me tell you, I know what it costs to go to the Jersey Shore. I know what it costs to go to South Beach, to Santa Monica, to San Diego. I know what those trips cost. This is less. Get the information, right? It's a spectacular trip. You're going to have a great time. And they'll even throw on a couple extra days to go to Paris if that's what you want to do. But we're going to go to Monaco, the beautiful flower market, an artist's colony, art museums, Nice. It's spectacular. I'm telling you, I never had a better time and I never ate better food. Not even in Jersey did I ever eat better food. So join me, okay? WalterSterlingShow.com. Get the information. Find out about our trip to the French Riviera, October 10th to the 18th. Plenty of time to plan, plenty of time to get your passport, no problem. But you have to sign up now. This is when you have to sign up. WalterSterlingShow.com or call Colette, 800-581-8942. I had this bizarre experience. I saw online that Dr. Pepper was willing to put decals and stickers and logos on my car and pay me to do it. Send me a monthly check. And they said, you know, they'd like college students and all this. All right, well, my daughter is attractive. She's 18. She's a freshman in college, and she has a red car. Attractive girl, red car. Probably Dr. Pepper would like it. I filled out the form, and I mailed it in. And a couple days later, we get an email saying, yes, you qualify. We look forward to it. And then they send us by express mail, official express mail, like a FedEx or one of those, to my daughter, the information, a deal, and a check, an initial check to show that they're serious and to engage them and to give them permission to put logos on her car. A $4,800 check made out to my daughter. $4,800 check made out to my daughter, freshman in college. That's $1 billion. And we're very excited. And she says to me, well, really, what's my car going to look like? I got to find out what the Dr. Pepper logos on my car are going to look at. And she goes online. And it says, Dr. Pepper logo scam. Scam, scam. It's been going on for years, and Dr. Pepper official statement repeatedly says, we have never paid anybody who's not an employee to put our logo on their car. But I'm sitting there with a check for $4,800. And then these are the instructions. First, she's supposed to text a phone number to let them know that she's received the check. And then they will send more instructions. In the meantime, she needs to deposit the check. And it turns out in the scam, she is supposed to deposit the check and then send half of it back to the promotion company. Because everything she got was from a promotion company in Washington State. in Oregon, send it to this promotion company, this ad agency, many different addresses, many different names. Nowhere on there did it say Dr. Pepper in any of the official correspondence. It was from their promotion agency. And now we need you to send us half the money. For some reason, they needed half the money of the money they sent us. Sounds like money laundering to me, just a hunch. We, therefore, were very disappointed. We also felt very blessed that we had not deposited the check. We hadn't signed anything. We had not agreed to anything. And she was smart enough, for vanity's sake, it was her vanity, that said, well, wait a minute, what's my car going to look like with this? So that's why she looked it up. She didn't look it up to see if it was legit. She looked it up to see what is the scam here. No, what is my car going to look like? All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Have you experienced a scam? Probably nothing that bad, I hope. Here's my number. Love to talk to you. This is the reason we do the show. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. It's a live radio show. Now, there is a Radio Hall of Fame, just like there's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There is a National Radio Hall of Fame. And I'm always surprised when I look at the National Radio Hall of Fame roster. This is a legit deal. This is not a scam. This is a legit deal. It's a magnificent induction ceremony, but very few people get in each year. I think it's only 9 inductees every year, and they have to have a, quote, national footprint. That's the ideal, but they don't always have a national footprint. These are radio stars. This is like Imus and Howard Stern and Robin Quivers and Rush Limbaugh. And these are the big guns. And every year I've looked and said, well, why isn't Sally Jesse Raphael in the Radio Hall of Fame? Sally is alive, happens to live in Nice, France, was gracious and came to my wedding. A great friend. Sally's been a great friend. But for every year I look and say, well, has she been inducted yet? Here's the great thing about the National Radio Hall of Fame. You can vote. You can make a nomination. You. And they look very much at the volume of people who vote and say this person should be nominated. This is the last day for the nominations for 2024. This is it, March 31st. This is the last day. And what I'd like you to do is go to the National Radio Hall of Fame. And it'll be the homepage. It'll say 2024 nominees. Click on it. And it's a very simple form. All you have to do is write Sally Jesse Raphael, Sally Jesse Raphael Show, and your name and phone number. That's it. Put it in for her nomination. Why? Sally was on the radio for 20 years before her TV show. She was on big radio stations in Puerto Rico, WIOD in Miami, WMCA in New York. And then she was on NBC Talk Network for 14 years. She did a national radio show for 14 years. Then she went on to TV for 19 years. She redefined talk radio. She was the first one to go into hearts and flowers and feelings and encourage women to talk. And she talked about her sexuality and her bisexuality during rating periods. And she was a powerful force on the radio. I've always admired her courage and her skill. She was a skilled broadcaster. This was not somebody who took up radio as a hobby. She was committed to it from childhood. She is a real broadcaster. I urge you to go to National Radio Hall of Fame, and let's see how many votes we can get in for her nomination, National Radio Hall of Fame, and vote to nominate Sally Jesse Raphael, who should be in there. And yes, she's alive. Yes, she would show up for the award. No, she hasn't bugged me about this. Everybody else in the world has bugged me about this, but not Sally. She deserves it. She deserves to be in the National Radio Hall of Fame. And when you're at the website, I think you'll be impressed with how good it looks, how well it's organized, and some of the people who you love hearing on the radio, how they are in the National Radio Hall of Fame, and Sally should be too. National Radio Hall of Fame. Go there, vote. It's free, no obligation, blah, 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 blah. We're having a good time tonight. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk to Kendall in Las Vegas about being a dominatrix and people who have a toe fetish. Is there any other radio show in America that's this robust and rich? Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
Judge Judy is 81 years old. Have you seen her on TV this week? She's 81 years old, which suggests that President Biden's problem is not that he's 81 years old. Our problem is snow is coming. Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a famous rapper turned mogul who had his car damaged at the Whitestone Pound. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Shoplifting spree gone bad. The people of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The shoplifting spree gone bad at Walmart happened at my Walmart, where shots rang out. People were shot at my Walmart. Rarely happens at Target. Good evening, I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. You and I are driving on I-90, the worst road in America. 80, the 4 in Florida, the 5 in California, the 101 in California. This is who we are. This is who we are. And on too many of those roads, there is a toll. There should be no tolls. You may imagine that the reason tolls are collected are to maintain the road. That is not true. It is to pay off the bonds that were raised to build the road. And most of the tolls in America were established with a covenant that said when the bonds are paid off, the tolls come down. That has only happened in Connecticut. Only the Connecticut Turnpike took down their tolls. In Jersey and most other states, it says that they can collect a toll until the bonds are paid off, unless in the opinion of the authority, the road authority, unless in their opinion they decide it's necessary for safety to build more road, to pour more concrete, then they can continue to collect a toll until those bonds are paid off. So as long as the boys are pouring concrete, there's no problem collecting a toll. Toby in Las Vegas. Toby, I rarely refer to past events. I think it's very bad broadcasting to refer to past events because 90% of the Midnight Misfits didn't hear last week. But it was so spectacular. You talked about a foot fetish club where beautiful women would meet men of a certain type in a hotel room or something and allow them to be fetishizing your feet. This was unbelievable to me. I have some questions. My first question, Toby, is I hope you had a good week. Kendall, I apologize. I have so many problems. You have to understand, I have so many emotional problems because I have three daughters. My life's a living hell. And then I had to see my sister-in-law today. I had to see my sister-in-law today, and she was nasty. Just a very unpleasant thing. But any family gathering for me is unpleasant. Kendall. How many men would show up for these fetish events of worshiping women's feet?
Well, Walter, usually when there was the really large parties in hotels, there'd be anywhere between 150 to 200 men coming to worship feet.
And what I find fascinating about this sexual fetish is it's legal because it's not sex. Yeah. It's looking at somebody's. Was there a theme to what they looked for? Was there a pattern to what men who fetishized about feet, what they looked for, what they were attracted to in feet?
Well, some, obviously everyone's different, but a lot of people like a little bit more of a petite foot, and that's what I have. I wear a size 7.5. And so I think if you have a little bit more of a petite foot with shorter toes, I think that you could probably make a little bit more money at these foot parties. Now, it's not to say that there's not some men that don't love a long toe or a size 10, but I think that I was very blessed with my cute little small feet.
Did they want the nails to be painted or not?
Yes, usually the feet are usually always painted fresh pedicure with a nice pretty color of toenail polish is always definitely more appealing to people that love to worship feet.
Was a disqualifier if you had flat feet?
No, there are some people in there with flat feet. I know we talked about flat feet last time. A lot of people also really love a very defined arch in the foot. So I guess depending on their mood.
Kendall in Las Vegas is an expert on foot fetish. Next question. Was there any other activities, sexual activities that you participated in that you want to talk about?
Well, Walter, there's a lot of people that love foot fetish. And what I learned about foot fetish is that one psychological element of fetishizing the feet is humiliation. And feet are often considered below people. And so that's why I think a lot of the people that worship the feet, they love it because they consider the feet lowly and beneath them. And this really sets up a dynamic for some people. They find it really appealing. They like to feel lower than their partner or whoever that they're with at that time. And they enjoy having feet on their body as a form of power play and being put in their place. So what I really learned a lot about a lot of these people that love feet is that they really love to be humiliated.
Now, how would you humiliate them? How would you humiliate? Would you tell them, gee, you know, you're ugly? How would you humiliate them?
Yeah, there's, well, depending on really what they like, there's some people that would say, look, I would like you if you would call me this specific name or speak in this certain way and say, call me this name and use really vulgar language, which obviously I can't say on the radio, but you would say something like, you know, oh, you're so pathetic. You look so stupid. You can't get anything done. You've been at work all day and you still haven't finished your job. Some people also like to be humiliated because of their weight. So if they're a little bit bigger, they like to be called a pig. A lot of people also really like to not only be verbally humiliated, but they also like to be physically kicked. So I learned a lot about trampling when I was at the foot fetish parties. And then I learned that a lot of people also, on top of being trampled, they really enjoy to be kicked. They want to be kicked as hard as possible and humiliated and kicked in the gonads. Walter, it's a real thing. They love it.
How did all of that make you feel?
Well, for me, you know, I kind of thought, wow, this is such an easy way to make money. I don't really have to do anything sexual. It's easy. And I've been riding horses my whole life, so I have really strong legs. And I also played soccer a lot when I was a kid, so my legs are really, really strong. And for me, I thought, wow, this is so fun. I can kick, I can get paid for it. And it also helped me a bit with just like anger management because I can get some of my frustration out. And it's sort of like a win-win situation.
How would people find you?
Well, I have a website. It's www.ktalknow.com. That's ktalknow.com. And Walter, for your listeners, I put a very special photo on my website. If you guys go to ktalknow.com, you can see a picture of my feet. And I made a special little foot photo just for you, Walter.
Kendall in Las Vegas, what a spectacular contributor you are to our show, because I knew that you were special and I knew you'd be an asset to the show. I just had to find the right, I don't want to say the right way in, but the right way to embrace your expertise. And I think we've done it. I think this is what we can look forward to every week in the second hour of Sterling on Sunday. I wish you a great holiday. Kendall in Las Vegas, spectacular work. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
You're just another recovering heart.
It's so exciting to be with you. And now to have a new contributor, to have Kendall in Las Vegas. I can just imagine all that's going to come out of this. Bernadine Scott, Shelley Merle, Ken Brandenburg, Midnight Misfits. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, we're going to have Dave Scott, who will explain to us that the moon is hollow. What? Yeah. And you and I will talk about storage wars, all of that, and you coming up in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicapped parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
What's wrong? I kissed this girl who's been sending me, like, super mixed messages, only to find out she's not gay, which sucks, and I'll probably never find love. But now what's even more messed up is she's, like, acting like nothing even happened, which is worse, right? Because something definitely did happen. So I feel insane. So it sucked. But, I don't know. Bouncy house was kind of fun.
Hey, it's her loss. You're hot. Maybe next time you just need to kiss someone that wants to kiss you back.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Never happened to me. Nobody ever looked at me and said, well, I don't know why they weren't attracted to you because you're hot. No, it never happened to me. Did it ever happen to you? No. At 6 minutes past the next hour, you and I are going to hear from Vic Ferrari, a retired New York City police detective who will tell you a real cop story. In the land of podcasts, the hottest category is true crime or crime. And then, all right, fine, true crime. So you listen to it and you find out it's about a case from 1962, almost always in Georgia. I don't know what the obsession is in podcasts with cases from Georgia, but that's the case. I don't waste your time with that. I bring a real retired New York City police detective who has real New York City police stories. He writes great books. I hope you get a hold of them. Now, I'm thinking about family holidays. And the hardest thing about a family holiday, especially at Easter, Christmas, birthdays, is that the way you and I were raised had one set of traditions. And the way you and I believe our set of traditions is correct. My Easter consisted of as many gifts as Christmas. My brother, my two sisters, and I got as many gifts as possible as we got for Christmas. Now, my parents were not rich. In retrospect, I have no idea how they did this. They're from Jersey. Their name ends in a vowel. Maybe that has something to do with it. Hard to say. But they could get, we had great gifts. Now, I marry a family where they only gave the kids a birthday party every other year. And the thought of giving Easter gifts is unimaginable. When I give my kids Easter gifts, they're horrified at this. What? Meanwhile, my brother's wife, not my wife's family, but my brother's wife, who's a spectacular aunt, she's terrific. She gives us no advice. She gives us checks and gifts. One of my sisters, same thing, a little advice, a little whiny crap, but generous gifts. Now, my 12-year-old, she's obsessed with these Zoob things, connecting things like advanced Tinker toys. And she got the ultimate Zoob gift from her aunt, my brother's wife. There was no conversation. I didn't ask for it. She didn't call and give us advice about what coffee table to give or how many gifts to give. She just sent this great thing. My kid is in heaven. She is in heaven with this. But when I go to these family events, I'm always in trouble. Are you always in trouble? No matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter who I look at, it's wrong. No matter how I'm dressed. Now, today, I was in my Brooks Brothers shirt. Let me see here. Brooks Brothers tie. No, it's not a Brooks. It's better than that. It's a It's a vineyard vine tie. There couldn't be a whiter tie. I'm in a vineyard vine tie, proper pants, and even matching socks. I'm sure there was some problem I don't even know about. And now they serve dinner. And I told you, they had this competition where the kids had to go out on the lawn and collect as many eggs as they can, put it in a basket, see who won. Okay, I'm sitting there saying, why do they have to wait for all of them to be there? If one of the kids, two of the kids, or most of the kids are ready to go out and look for eggs, the one who isn't ready, that's part of the lesson of life. They lost the egg competition because they didn't show up on time. This is the weirdest thing about schools. Not too long ago, when you were in public school and a paper was due, a test was due, an assignment was due on Tuesday, that was part of the lesson. It was due on Tuesday. Now, they negotiate the deadlines. A kid can say, well, I can't get it done by Tuesday. Could I turn it in Friday? Yes, no problem. And then kids have trouble with a thing called executive functioning, how to organize your time, how to prioritize your time. Well, of course they have trouble with executive functioning. There are no deadlines. There are no hard deadlines. That's how you learn that. I didn't have trouble with executive functioning. I had trouble with math. I had trouble with algebra, but I sure as hell knew when the test was due and the paper was due. I knew all that stuff because the deadlines wouldn't move. I learned it fast. Now, there are no deadlines. There are no deadlines. But there are other rules that are far more stupid that I will share with you coming up. Dave Scott. Oh, you want to talk about this? Yes, please. Here's my phone number, 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Call. Let's talk. What? This is a live show on KFBK in Sacramento. It's a live show. Oh, my God, that never happens. Dave Scott, who is an expert on all things far out and outer space and UFOs, coming up in seconds. And I'm going to share with him new information I have about the moon being hollow. A hollow moon. I have new information about a hollow moon, and I will test it with our expert, Dave Scott. Can you be an expert on UFOs? Is that possible? I mean, if it's fiction, can you be an expert on that? Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right. I believe the moon is hollow. And I will share that evidence with you coming up in just seconds. Plus, I'm going to tell you how to find cheap gas. Is there a greater service than this radio show? Snow's coming up. Dr. Dave.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from my auto crime days. So in December 1999, Puff Daddy or P. Diddy or whatever he's calling himself these days was involved in a Manhattan nightclub skirmish that led to gunfire being thrown. The police pulled over his vehicle, recovered a handgun, and P. Diddy and I think a couple of members of his entourage were arrested. Well, in the NYPD, if you're involved in a crime and your car is with you, the police are going to voucher your car as evidence. After P. Diddy's car was vouched for evidence, it was sent out to the Whitestone Pound out in Queens. Now, the Whitestone Pound is in the flight path of LaGuardia Airport. It's a tremendous area. It's a lot of acreage, and there's tons of cars, motorcycles, and car parts. So in the auto crime division, when we executed a search warrant or a chop shop or a junkyard, we would voucher stolen motors, stolen engines, hoods, fenders, whatever, airbags, you name it. If it came out of a car and it was arrest evidence, it would go to the Whitestone Pound. So one of the teams in the auto crime division, shortly after P. Diddy's vehicle was taken into police custody, had executed a search warrant, and they had recovered a couple of stolen motors and parts. So when they got to the Whitestone Pound, they were directed by whoever worked there to, okay, dump it here. So we used to have what's called a rack truck. It's a big open air truck, and it had a mechanical claw that worked on hydraulics. And this, it looked like something out of Jurassic Park. It could pick up something as heavy as an engine, lift it off the ground and put it in the rack truck, or lift it out of the rack truck and place it on the ground. So these detectives are unloading the auto parts at the Whitestone Pound when the mechanical claw decides to lose his mind and starts swinging around. So guys are running for their lives while this thing is hundreds of pounds of metal is swinging around. And one of the things it does is it hits the side of P. Diddy's SUV. So when the smoke cleared and they were able to get this, I don't know if the mechanical claw ran out of fuel or they were able to shut it off, but when the smoke cleared, there was substantial damage to P. Diddy's vehicle. And I remember the supervisors at the auto crime division weren't too happy about it. They said, you know, you could have put those parts anywhere. Why did you have to put it next to, you know, P. Diddy's vehicle? And the detective's response was, listen, that's where they told me where to put it. You know, I was directed by people who work at the pound. So in the NYPD, you never know who you're going to run into or who you're going to rub elbows with, including a famous mogul rapper. So for more NYPD stories, check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
All right, well, this is the Transgender Day of Visibility. It's for men who hide their Easter eggs. Dave Scott, Sterling on Sunday, I say the moon is hollow. And I've heard this theory for a long time, and a lot of it has to do with the nature of the orbit of the moon, but there were two things I did not know that I bet you know, because you know everything, Dave Scott, about all things far out in space. There are a zillion craters on the surface of the moon, right?
Correct.
They're all the same depth. They're different circumferences, but they're all the same depth, which would suggest that when the meteors hit the moon, they're stopped by a hard surface beneath, a uniform hard surface, which would suggest a artificial surface, which would suggest an artificial surface to the moon. The other thing is I didn't realize that in a great deal of human mythology from 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 years ago, it refers to a time before there was a moon in the sky. There was a time before there was a moon in the sky. That's in many of the ancient myths. And I thought about those two things, and all of a sudden it makes sense that the moon is hollow. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a solid rock. I'm not sure if it's hollow. I mean, we know there's already aliens and lesbians in space hiding on the dark side of the moon. We know that there's buildings on the moon. We know that, you know, there's deep secret space programs that have triangular aircraft that can fly to the moon. I think they're landing on something very solid.
But you don't think it's hollow?
I do not think it's hollow, no.
Now, these triangular spacecraft, who do you think is responsible for them? Is it Russia, China? Is it us? Who do you think is responsible for these triangular spacecrafts, and why don't amateur astronomers see it from Earth in their telescopes?
Well, I think that these are all American made, my man. USA, USA, USA. And I think this is one of the biggest mysteries that we have. These aircraft are allegedly called the TR-3B. There is actual patents for the TR-3B triangular aircraft. You could go look it up online. Those are very, very real. And I also think that the reason why we have them is because we've had one from them, the aliens themselves, Walt.
If these are from the aliens, why did they need us to patent them?
Well, I think when you get into the military-industrial complex, they want to make sure that nobody else has them because the aliens probably didn't want to give them to anybody else. I think maybe one crashed or maybe there was a trade. One story we need to get into one week when we do this is the conspiracy theory around President Eisenhower allegedly making trades with aliens for humans for technology. And I think that's where it all came from.
Why don't you indulge us now and tell us that theory?
Well, the theory is back in, I believe, 1954, Eisenhower was playing in a charity golf tournament in Palm Springs when he all of a sudden disappeared. Now, the story that was written and given to the media was that he went to Beverly Hills in the middle of the night to get a tooth pulled from a toothache. However, there were people on the military base of Holloman Air Force Base who said that they watched Air Force One fly in, land, Eisenhower get out, and a little bit later, after the base was cleared of soldiers and civilian personnel, the UFOs came down. Two of them came down. One allegedly saying, hey, we don't want you to have nuclear weapons. We'll give you everything that you want. You want expanded life. You want free technology. You want everything you want to make humanity grow. We'll give it to you. Just no more nukes. And it's the middle of the Cold War. Eisenhower is like, no, I don't know. But this other species came down and said, hey, you keep your nukes. You give us a certain amount of people every year that we could do some testing, and we'll give you the technology. It's alleged that Eisenhower signed a deal right there called the Grieta Treaty. And the weird part about it is, Walter, the number was around 60,000 Americans a year could be studied and taken. They were supposed to be the desolate, the destitute, the medically insane. However, the aliens got greedy. And to this day, 1.3 million Americans go missing every year. When the government or the FBI whittles it down from murders to suicides to people running away from bad divorces and kidnappings and everything, to this day, 60,000 people cannot be accounted for every year.
If Eisenhower made that deal, why is it being upheld by later presidents? Or do other presidents not know this deal was ever made?
Oh, the theory is the presidents do know that it was made. However, that's why we have never had a president actually talk about the UFO subject. They always divert it because I think under their contract of being president of the United States, after they're voted in, it is one of the most top secret programs that they are not allowed to speak of.
What would happen if they broke the deal?
That I don't know.
Right.
Well, I'll be hypothetical on that. I think I do know what would happen. I think that it would open the United States government up to a lot of lawsuits from people who have been murdered, people who have disappeared, people who have gone AWOL crazy, because I think the government knows a lot more than what they were saying. And if they know, if there just happens to be in the Pentagon a list of people who have been abducted by aliens, imagine what lawyers would do for the families of those people.
Tell us about your website.
SpacedOutRadio.com, Walt.
Say it again.
SpacedOutRadio.com.
Dave Scott, a great friend of Sterling on Sunday. All of your theories make sense. That's what scares me. And I appreciate you being on the show. Thanks very much, Dave Scott. It's 18 past the hour. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, driving across the country, north and south with you. Even on the strange I-4 in Florida, which runs north and south but says east and west. It's totally confusing to me. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you the horror story of my kid in school and the problems with that and my watching Storage Wars. And this entire show is dedicated to Paul Vandenberg of our affiliate in Albany. He's my favorite affiliate. And the legendary Mark Simone. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
All right, good evening. Walter M. Sterling, my gosh, welcome. Let's you and I talk. Here's my phone number, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. So I had a bad day because I had to deal with the relatives and the cousins. and you have relatives who are like from Appalachia or the swamps of Florida or that strange place in the Northwest. You don't know where they live. They've never been to their house. The worst thing I ever had to do, I did not come from a family that had family reunions. I think they were afraid of the RICO Act. They're from Jersey. There were no family reunions in my family. But now I married into a wife who their family is family reunions. And three quarters of the relatives are from Appalachia. I swear they are. And worse than that, when they gather, they want to talk to me. I don't want to talk to them. The worst was they take this one weekend at a public forest, a forest that had cabins. You could reserve the cabins. I think they were for free or almost for free, but they were cheap enough for the friends from Appalachia and the relatives from Appalachia to go. We go to these cabins, and they have no heat, and they have no air conditioning. That was the problem. This is July. They had no air conditioning, and there were no restaurants, and there was no room service. We had to bring the food ourselves and eat the hot dogs for 2 days with the people from Appalachia. What they were thinking, I don't know. Fortunately, one of my sister-in-laws is worse than I am. She had no interest in being there at all. And then my brother-in-law, who's otherwise unacceptable, he had no interest in this. I think we only had to do this twice. And then they gave up on the nonsense of going to these cabins in the woods and eating outside on long benches in the forest, you know, where bears could just come up at random times. I hated it. And then I had to admit the fact that I hate the family vacations. Why do I hate the family vacations? To me, a vacation is going to a beautiful place and being served. Room service, great food, people setting up the benches, people setting up the chairs on the beach and laying out the towels. That's a vacation to me. My vision of hell is sharing a vacation home with any other family, doesn't matter who they are. As an introvert, there's no way that I can get charging time if I'm sharing a home with another family. I can never relax if there's another family sharing the house. Why? Well, I can't walk around in my underwear. I don't know who's there. And then I open the refrigerator. Is this my food? Their food? Can I enjoy this food? I don't know. One relative that we share house with is rich. And I said, we need some food. I'll go to the supermarket. And I knew they'd say they would pay. Okay, fine. They would pay. He wouldn't give me his credit card. He'd give it to my daughters, but he would not give me the credit card to go to the supermarket. My 17-year-old daughter, no problem. Well, why was this? Because you give him an inch, he'll take a yard. What? Yes, like they were afraid I was going to buy a big box of cereal rather than a small box of cereal. How much damage could be done in a supermarket? But he wouldn't give me his credit card. My daughters, no problem. How would you live with that the rest of the week? I've never stolen money from him. I've never stolen money from anybody. How would you live with that? That your brother-in-law won't give you his credit card, but he'll give it to your kid. Whoa. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. He wouldn't give me a credit card, yet I have my own phone number. A vanity phone number, 888-688-WALT. I don't like sharing a house. I can't relax. And really, on a family vacation, what does it mean for Dad? More work. Is Dad going to be allowed to just sit on the beach all day or sit next to the pool all day? No, Dad will be invited to do things. Let's go to the go-karts. Let's go to miniature golf. More physical activity for Dad on vacation than not on vacation, and usually some insane drive. When I was growing up, we drove 2 hours to the Jersey Shore max, depending on the traffic. It was 2 hours max, and that was a long drive. Now, I don't care where you live in America. If somebody says to you, let's go to the Outer Banks or to the beaches of Georgia, It's a 14-hour ride. I don't care if you live in Georgia. I don't care if you live in North Carolina. It's a 14-hour drive. Now you're in the car for 14 hours, and that means you really should spend the night at a hotel. What does that mean? Another $400 or $500. Then you get to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which is a groovy MTV show. And what's there? Nothing. Jersey Shore, Santa Monica, South Beach. What's at the beach? Lots of stuff. Great amusements, great entertainment, beautiful, beautiful women. What's at the beach in North Carolina, at the Outer Banks? Nothing. It isn't that there are no amusements. There aren't. There are no stores. There aren't. Everything's a very long drive. But on the beach itself, there's nobody. I suppose that's the charm for somebody, but I'm not going to drive 14 hours to see nobody. It's hell. I'll talk to you about my kid's situation in school. You might have advice for me. I look forward to that. I'm going to tell you where and how to get cheap gas and my deep and profound experiences watching Storage Wars. Is there another show like this? No, thank God. My number is 888-688-WALT. My website where you can find out about our trip to the French Riviera, waltersterlingshow.com. waltersterlingshow.com. We have a great time. Thanks for being with me. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I want you to get. Do we have a bullet? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so relieved. I feel so much better now.
Good evening. It's 36 past the hour as you and I drive up and down across the country. This is the best time of day to listen to the radio. Oh, and I'm live. What? Yes, it's true. Weather, guess what happens? Snow coming up. Dr. Dave.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I mean, I looked in the mirror and then I saw you and I was like, damn, we need to be best friends.
I did the same thing, actually.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
It was a 911. Led to a shoplifter going on the run, getting into a vehicle, hitting a lot of other cars in the parking lot of a Walmart in beautiful Warrensville, Ohio. That Walmart in Warrensville is absolutely a beauty. It is a popular location for many people to go shop and get new socks or new underwear or perhaps a fishing pole. Spring is here, might as well get ready for fishing season. And at this Walmart, an unidentified 43-year-old man was on a shoplifting spree, and apparently this feller was not particularly inconspicuous. 911 called. Police on the way. Shoplifter goes on the run, gets into a vehicle, hits three cars. Could have killed someone easily. And the cops were forced to open fire on the shoplifter. If the shoplifter lives, he will get to go to jail. Yeah, the Great Bar Hotel. And talk about a great time had by all. 16-year-old Lance Christian was a witness to the shoplifting and said this feller had a full buggy and ran past the self-checkout on his way out. Shoplifting, bad, had to be pretty desperate to be to run and to get shot. Lesson, have a good getaway policy. If you're going to do some shoplifting, figure out ways to get out. And apparently this 43-year-old man that was shot by police, shoplifting and all that, didn't have a good exit policy. Feel like I need to have a TikTok account just explaining the best ways to escape out of a Walmart if you're going to be shoplifting. Probably get a couple million views and, get sponsorships. What an idea. You could do that. Yeah, you. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
got two auctioneers and they're still missing bids.
Oh, come on now.
At least you admit it. You admit it, right?
No, I didn't admit it. Actually, I didn't see your bid.
I saw it.
I think you were at 165 and maybe you thought you were at 170.
Playing favorites.
Well, it's okay to
you know, Dave, I'd shut your mouth if I were you.
I
can't kick your ass out.
I'm just saying what I saw.
Well, you want to know what? You're starting trouble.
You and I are smart. We watch Storage Wars. You've watched Storage Wars. It's where a bunch of interesting people go to foreclosed on storage units where people ran out of money or they died and abandoned their storage unit. And then they open it up. These interesting characters bid on it. And then they resell it online or in their secondhand stores for I'm not really clear how they monetize it. It's not always clear, but most of them have secondhand stores. All right. You and I know enough about show business to know that this is heavily staged. And some of the people who used to bid on it quit the show and revealed that it was heavily staged. For example, it is alleged that the producers of Storage Wars will put some items in a given storage unit. And then when it's opened up, and people are going through the old underwear and the used books. Oh, my gosh, here's gold from ancient Egypt. Who knew? And a producer had put that in there. Or they put in things that they know people will fight over, whatever. But they go into the unit before it's open for the people bidding on it. And before you and I see it, they help it along. This is true of all, quote, reality shows. It's how they're structured. That's what producers do. Especially like for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they stage all kinds of situations to make fights and to make romance because they have to. It's expensive to make these shows. But Storage Wars does not strike me as a particularly expensive show, especially since I think they're actually spending their own money on these. But maybe not. Maybe the producers give those guys money. All right. But even though I know it's rigged, even though the dialogue and the solo shots of them explaining how they feel and what they were thinking are all scripted and rehearsed and shot 10 times to get the inflection right, I sit there for episode after episode and hope that I'm going to see Brandy without her creepy partner husband. I hope I'm going to see Brandy and I hope I'm going to see Mary. I want to see Mary and Brandy, who say goofy, wacky things. Brandy has a remarkable body. She's got this huge chest. So even if she doesn't bid on anything or there's nothing interesting in her locker, there's something interesting in her underwear that I'm fascinated by. I don't particularly like the guys. I don't need the guys. The guys are, to me, jerks, just my opinion. But they seem to be all very good at buying up these lockers. Then the fascinating part, and where it's totally rigged. Oh, well, look at this item. Gee, I'm going to have to go to an expert to see how much this is worth. And oh, my gosh, all of them have experts on their phones. They can immediately see an expert nearby. All their experts on antiques, coins, guns, tchotchkes, they're all nearby. Here's the tchotchke. Next scene, we're walking in to see the expert. And they've clearly had relationships with these experts for decades. But, of course, they haven't. The producers did their job and found it. But I'm suckered in every episode. I watch them every episode. And it always says, this is what I paid for it, and this is what I can get for it. What I'd really like to see, same thing on the antique show, there's two guys driving around for antiques, this Antiques Roadshow. Same thing on antiques. I'd like to see actually how much did they get? How much did they get? Now, online, a lot of these people have stores, and you go and you look, and it really doesn't answer how much they got. That's what I'd like to see. Could we see an end-of-the-year scorecard as to how they did on Storage Wars? These are my concerns. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk about the interesting horror show I'm going through with my middle schooler, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
You are a lush, I can tell by looking at you.
My daughter has apraxia, which is a severe speech delay. She's 12 years old. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. She's 12 years old. Two weeks ago, we found out she also has autism. She was tested at a real hospital, a real children's special, and a real MD did the test. And she has autism. And it makes sense. For her to go to school is hell now that she's in middle school, because she has to go from classroom to classroom in busy, loud halls. And that's the killer. She doesn't hate school. She's smart as hell. She got a B in math. Very good. Congratulations, Sam. But it's physically very difficult for her to process sound. All noise, speech comes into her brain at the same level. She can't contextualize sound the way you and I do. It's much harder for her. We first realized this when she was in fifth grade music class. And we said to the school at the time, we want her out of music class. Instead of her being in music class, we want her to take extra reading. Can we have extra one-on-one reading time? Because she reads at a kindergarten level. She cannot write. She does math pretty well, and she speaks at a fifth grade level. Smart kid. But she has these challenges. And it took from October until a month ago to get her out of music. Because the idiot assistant principal said, well, this can't be one person's decision. This has to be a team decision to get her out of music. And then they threatened us with the county to come and visit to find out why she was out so much. Because, you see, she was out so much because it hurt her brain. It was an assault on her brain. It was abuse of her brain to be in fifth grade music class with people playing flutes and clarinets for the first time. And then to have to walk through the halls. Well, we got an accommodation on the halls, thanks to a very understanding teacher who was there, a real pro, a veteran, somebody who knew what they were doing. She said, well, let's just get her out of each class a minute early and she can walk in silent halls. Ta-da! That didn't take a team decision. She just made that decision. And music isn't math or reading or writing or history or science. It's music. Most schools don't offer music. It's very much a luxury. We finally got her out of music. Now she is, turns out she has autism. And she needs accommodations for that. But the threat, the constant threat of, if she doesn't go to school, we're going to turn you over to the county and have a child services worker come visit your home. I'm like, wait a minute. My wife has a master's degree. She graduated from this school system. Her brother and sister graduated from this school system, and they both are very successful. My older two kids graduated from this school system, and one's an honors kid as a freshman in college, and the other is thriving as a senior in a very competitive private college. We get it. We understand the need to go to school, but I'm not going to force my kid, my 12-year-old, to go to school and suffer. Because the abuse, the neglect is in school. It's not at home. She's very happy at home. Or she says, it's really warm, I have lots of food, and I get to play with my stuffed animals. This is a kid who has 100 stuffed animals. And she, listen to me, she tucks each one in at night. And when it was Easter egg time, she hid Easter eggs in her bedroom for her stuffed animals to go and find. That's her heart. And I don't want some creepy administrators, some incompetent jerks in her school to rob her of that joy. I don't want some social services person saying to her, well, if you don't go to school, your parents could wind up in court. I don't want that proscription of guilt imposed on my beautiful baby. Because I know how to talk, and because I'm from Jersey and can get angry, I am afraid of what to do. My wife, a Midwesterner, you know, everything's fine, no worries, blah, 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 but she's furious. I've never seen her this angry. She is furious. Now, next week, Mr. Quick, I believe we're going to have on a child services expert lawyer who will give me some deep and profound advice on what to say and what not to say. Mostly what not to say. I just find it appalling that I've had to beg and scream and yell in a, quote, good school system to get the accommodations she needs for apraxia and autism. But I blame it on the principal, because this particular principal looks like a guy who opens his office door only to pay for the pizza and then eat most of it. I've been in schools in the school system with real principals, and they're fine. Now, on a lighter note, hey, deadline, it's time's up. I want you to join me on the French Riviera. Let's get to the beach. Let's see the art museums, the perfume factories, the wineries, the casino at Monte Carlo. We will go to Nice, stay in one hotel for 9 beautiful days. Go to the beach when you want. Join us when you want. This is put together by Colette Travel, a premium small batch vacation travel service that heard Sterling on Sunday and said, we'll take your Midnight Misfits to the French Riviera. Wouldn't that be great? We'll take them. If you want me to personally send you the brochure, which has a picture of me and Katie getting engaged on the French Riviera, that day, that second, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send me your real mailing address, and I will personally mail it to you. You don't go on a mailing list. You're never going to be bugged, but you'll get the information. But you got to fill it out and sign up. We're going in October. Plenty of time to get the passport and to plan and to deal with the daycare and the nannies and all that stuff. But we have to book it now. Or go to Walter M. Sterling Show. No, Walter Sterling Show. WalterSterlingShow.com. Right there, there's a picture of the French Riviera. Click on it. Get the information. I want to do this trip with you. It's all a bunch of introverts. We'll have the best time. And we eat French food for 10 days, 9 days. French food. Get the information. Go to Walter Sterling Show. Click on the picture of the French Riviera. Or, if you'd like to just call them and get the facts, good idea. 800-581-8942. 800-581-8942. This is an all-inclusive trip. It's put together for us. We're going to the perfume workshop, the glamorous con for wine tasting, Monaco, once upon a time villa, an artist's haven, a flower market, everything you could imagine you want to see on the French Riviera. This is what we're going to see. WalterSterlingShow.com. But make the commitment now. I've talked about it. I've given you the information. You can study the website. Great. But this is the time. All right. We've learned a lot tonight. Thanks again to the Father, to the priest. Happy Easter. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.